All right, come on in. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 12. I'll have Nancy come up. All right, glad to have Nancy Reed, one of our entrepreneurs in the church, right? Dog sitting, dog walking business?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, I didn't know what the technical term
animals
for that was.
Animals are my world.
Animals are her world. All right.
Yes, I own a pet sitting business.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for reading the word, Nancy.
Hi, I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. That is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. All right, let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for you sending your word to us. Lord, you lead us, you instruct us, you instruct our hearts, God, that we would know how to live, how to walk, Lord, and how beautifully you do this in Romans 12. God, speak to our hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Mark Fowler, pastor here at Radiant, and so a little different than the usual setup here. So I actually had shoulder surgery a couple weeks ago, and I'm still in this brace, so please permit me to be able to preach with this on. I am very ready to be done with this brace. Using one arm instead of two takes twice as long to do everything, and there's some things you just can't do. It's a little crazy, but this too shall pass, so step at a time. But and I just want a little editorial comment. So I was the funnel cake guy just for staff meetings. So I think I single-handedly destroyed the name serving fair or ministry fair, because I was like, if it's a fair, then you have funnel cakes. Like, this is sort of the whole idea. But they said, no funnel cakes, Mark, sorry. I got really excited at that point. The staff meeting. Okay, back to Romans 12. Okay, let's talk. So Romans 12, verse 3 says that we have a measure of faith that God has assigned to us. Do you think of yourself as someone that has faith? What does this look like? So faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Says Hebrews 11, 1. This is a kind of a biblical definition of faith. So I want you to look at this Hebrews 11 for just a second. It says, faith is confidence in what is to come in the future. And faith is trusting in someone that they will, in fact, do what they said they would do, that they will, you know, perform whatever it is that they've promised to perform. And we then act accordingly in response, because we do trust them. Now, the fact is that everybody has some degree of faith. Everyone operates with a certain degree of faith. It's like a belief enabling apparatus that we have inside of us that it allows us to move out into life and to live life believing for and looking ahead to what tomorrow will bring, what we are to step into in our lives. It's actually in the Myers-Briggs personality profile. How many of you are familiar with the Myers-Briggs? This is a pretty popular, still commonly used personality test. Well, in the Myers-Briggs, there's actually four different indicators that are given for every person that takes the test. And one of the four is related to how much faith do you have? I bet you didn't know that. So in your profile, it shows up as either an S or an N. So let me define these two. So the S stands for sensing, which is talking about somebody that, you know, is very much looking at the concrete information that they have in front of them and saying, this is how I'm going to interpret and understand the world and make decisions. The N stands for intuition, as in you prefer to interpret and look beyond the basic facts that are presented in front of you into what will be, kind of what is to come. And so to think a little bit about these two personalities, so the intuition, that intuitive personality would be kind of like your business entrepreneur. You know, Nancy, I heard you say entrepreneur. So somebody that is an entrepreneur is sort of like, I think of it like the Field of Dreams guy. You know that baseball movie? If you build it, they will come. Like that's kind of the entrepreneurial, like there is something out there and I can see it, and I know it'll happen, and I believe, and I can step out in faith and lead the organization, the business, to get to this new place because I have this sense about me of how we're going to step forward and move forward as a business. Now, on the other side, for the more concrete thinker, think about, as an example, a supply chain manager, kind of staying in the world of business. Somebody who, in a supply chain manager, what they would look at is inventory levels and historical fill rates, and they're looking at, well, how am I going to plan based on the information that I've seen historically? Like, this is what has been, and therefore, this is how I'm going to plan. And I work with some of these supply chain managers in my business role, and sometimes they'll be like, listen, Mark, don't you tell me about this big order that you're going to get next week. I don't believe you. I'm looking at what happened last month, and that's what I'm going to plan for, because that's how they look at and move out into the future. So which one of these sounds more like you? Now, I want to make two observations about kind of this little example here. The first is that in terms of faith, the example here is shown, you know, it's from the world of business, but nonetheless, the kind of the inference here is that the entrepreneur has more faith, greater faith than that of the supply chain manager. So the question that kind of raises, is it possible to have greater or lesser faith? Now, second observation, if that's possible, does that mean that a person that is a supply chain manager can't be as good of a Christian as somebody that's an entrepreneur because, of course, they don't have as much faith? Is that true? Well, let's talk about this second question first. So the answer from Romans 12 is not necessarily. So what Romans 12 said, the verse we read earlier, was that God has assigned to us a measure of faith. He has given to us each a unique gifting, and that gifting shows itself in how we live life, how we move out into our professions, how we engage in business. And that's why you see, as we read through, as Nancy read through the rest of that passage, there's all these examples of like the one who serves and the one who leads and the one who prophesies, because all of these are different contours of what does it look like to live out in the faith God has assigned in those kind of unique giftings that you know, different people have. So in the area of the entrepreneur versus supply chain manager, the way to think about that is to compare, like, different people have different giftings, and it shows itself, like the level of faith shows itself in how they move out in those giftings. But one thing I want to kind of point out here is that what we're going to talk about in Romans 12 is going to actually not just speak generically about faith in terms of like kind of a personality profile like we just talked about. What we're going to see in Romans 12 is that God is going to speak to our faith in God, our trust in God, and how we move out into the world because of that faith. So now let me go back and answer the first question. Is it possible to have greater or lesser faith? What would you think? Is it possible that someone could have a greater degree or lesser degree of faith? And the answer from Romans 12 is yes. Look at verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6 says this. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. So notice what it's saying here. It's saying that if you have this gift of prophecy, the way that you're going to function in that gift is going to be proportional to your faith, aka how much faith you have. The greater level of your faith, the greater your function, the greater the level of your gifting is going to function in this prophetic area that we're talking about. So the greater your faith, the greater that this prophetic gift is going to function. Just a few examples around this idea of greater and lesser is Matthew 18. So Jesus' disciples, they're trying to cast a demon out of a boy. And they attempt to, and they could not. So they come to Jesus and they say, why could we not cast out this demon? And do you remember what Jesus says back to them? Jesus says to them, because of your little faith. He says that the magnitude of your faith was too small to accomplish this thing that was in front of you. In Luke 17, the disciples ask Jesus straight up, increase our faith. They're saying, I recognize how important faith is and I want more of it. Jesus, teach us how. Show us how. What can we do to increase our faith? And so, you know, he teaches them on how this is going to happen. But I think it's so helpful for us to see from looking at the disciples and how they interacted with Jesus that, yes, faith is valuable. It's important. I want more of it in my life. And that it can grow and become greater and therefore have a greater impact on our lives. Is your faith in God growing? Or is it more, O ye of little faith? Is it more of kind of you're losing faith? Which just best describes you and where you find yourself today? Well, praise God, he is working to grow us in our faith. He wants to see that grow and mature. And so what I want to do today with the time we have in Romans 12 is to look at how God is at work in growing us in our faith. And I want to do this by looking at two particular problems that we face that are actually addressed in Romans 12. And those two problems are these. First, when it comes to our faith, we are pressured to conform to this world. And then secondly, when it comes to our faith, we have misleading expectations as to how faith works. So we'll get to that second question in just a minute. But let's begin with question number one. So how does Romans 12 describe the pressure that we face to conform? Well, let's look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here is in Romans 12 this word conformed. And that is the Greek word schematizo. And this is where we get our English word schematic, which is what you would think about like kind of a drawing or a blueprint that an architect would use for a building. And what it would represent is kind of the way things are supposed to be, the original design that they're supposed to conform to. And so I want you to kind of enter this imagery with me that we're talking about here of this schematic. So we're going to take you, who is this? creative, faith-having, future-looking person, and you've got all these giftings and faith in God. And what we're going to do is we are going to blueprint you. We're going to say to you that you are going to get pressed into the shape, into this design that we have for you that you need to look like. We don't want to have you having all these big ideas about God. What Romans 12 says is we want you to conform to this blueprint that we have for you. There was a movie called The Adjustment Bureau that was kind of a creative look at this exact idea of getting this blueprint kind of forced upon you. So in this movie, Matt Damon plays a politician. He's actually trying to get elected to Senate. And what we see is this guy, his whole life is scripted. I mean, what he's going to say to voters, what clothes he's going to wear, the things he's going to say in his speeches. I mean, this guy, it's like every step is calculated by all these handlers around him that are telling him, you know, as a politician, this is what we need you to do. This is the role we need you to fill. And in the movie, it's kind of crazy. They actually have these kind of semi-supernatural guys in black hats that run around trying to make sure that this politician actually stays on course that they've set for him. You know, you can come up with a couple of catchy one-liners if you want, but don't stray too far from the plan. This guy was getting blueprinted. Think about this with the idea of communism. So communism, this form of government, so communism, the idea they kind of built conceptually was, you know, we're going to create a utopia where all of us kind of live together and we're going to share everything, which on the surface sounds great. You know, the idea was no private property, the state owns everything, and then the state will provide for you all that you're going to need. Yeah, right. Well, the state took everything, that's for sure. But whether they were going to give back everything you need, that, you know, not so fast. But here's what was interesting about communism. So what the communist leaders said was they actually went beyond just saying that you can't have Christian faith. They actually went so far as to say it is illegal to have Christian faith. And the reason for this was that they were wanting to eliminate religious faith because it was such a wild card. What they were saying is that here's communism, and this is the future we want you to believe for. We want you to believe this. We don't want you to have these big ideas about God. We want you to follow the blueprint we have for you, for your life, for your future, and that is communism. So are you getting blueprinted? Are you experiencing this kind of pressure to be pressed into this design of life that says this is how you're supposed to look and act and think? I believe we feel this in everything from our careers to our personal lives, to our social lives, to our families, to how we raise our kids. I mean, every one of these areas, it's like we are getting pressed into this is the design, this is the blueprint you are supposed to not just act and talk, like to even to think, like this is what you have to do. Now for me, an area I struggle with this is, you know, I have a desire, I want to stay in good standing with people. I want to, you know, have people think well of me. And so because of that, when I interact with people, I'm a little concerned about, hey, they're going to think of me as this weird Jesus freak, goody two shoes. You know all the stereotypes. I mean, like they're going to look at me and this is what they're going to think. And so sometimes I'll meet, you know, a friend or an acquaintance or some new business associate or somebody that I want to impress. And because of that, it intimidates me. And I want to put in my pocket some of those things and, you know, maybe not be so Christian in the way that I, you know, the things I say, the things I do, the way I talk about certain topics, I'll kind of put those things in my pocket, like maybe not with this person because I'm intimidated by what they're going to think about me. Do you experience this pressure to conform in your life to this pressure that we see of getting blueprinted? But I want you to look with me at what God is doing in the face of this pressure. Look at verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." God is doing this incredible transformational work in the face of this conforming pressure. God is rewriting that in his transforming grace. So this word in verse 2, this is a Greek word, metamorpho, which is where we get our English word, of course, metamorphosis, which is that transition that takes place, like when the caterpillar enters the cocoon and comes out the other side, a butterfly. That is what is happening here. God is bringing new life. He is bringing this new glorious power to bear that is changing us. So to give you a little idea about this word, Paul uses metamorpho in another place in his letters, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and he says this: "We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, metamorpho, into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Through Christ, God has made a way that we could see his glory, that we could see this glorious work of God, this glorious presence of God, and we would be transformed from glory to glory. And this description that we see here of this metamorphosis that's taking place in our lives, this is what Christ has done for us on the cross. He, in that place, took the wrath we deserved so that we could be forgiven, so that we could draw near to God, so that the veil would be removed and we could come in relationship to God and draw near, that we could see and behold his glory. And because of this work of Christ, I want you to notice what it has done to this conforming pressure that we feel. He has put us in a whole new category. So before Christ, we were defenseless to this conforming pressure. Paul actually describes us, he talks about this like we're being dragged down like just children of wrath who are being led by the prince of the power of the air. And we are just following along the conforming power of this world, just like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, he restored us, he redeemed us, he removed the veil so that we could draw near to God, have that relationship born in our lives, so that now, not only do we have this new relationship, but because of it, everything has changed. We have been transformed. Now let's keep going to Romans 12. I want to talk about our second problem here that we want to look at from our passage. And the second problem is this: when it comes to our faith, we have misleading expectations of how faith works. Now I want to talk about these misleading expectations we have, because, you know, faith, it's a bit of a tricky topic, isn't it? I mean, we've already talked about a few things, everything from, you know, kind of the way that our faith is expressed in our personality, the way that we have God transforming us and giving greater and growing us in our faith. So, you know, there's a lot of questions, and as we enter this topic, I feel like the question that I hope that you're starting to ask is, well, how do I engage in growing my faith? If it can be greater or lesser, how can I have more of it? Because I want more of it. I want to see the fruit of that, the impact of that in my life. So as you think about that, I feel like there's kind of two extremes that we're kind of tempted to in kind of processing, well, how faith works and what am I supposed to do? The first is this. We go very passive. You know, it's kind of like you wait for grace to sort of overtake you, sort of invade, and just all of a sudden, poof, you know, whatever's supposed to happen happens, and we'll be fine. Like that sort of on one extreme, the passive. But then there's the other side, which is sort of, it's completely up to you. Like, I'm just going to, you know, kind of do whatever I have to do, you know, to get where I need to get to, almost to the point where it feels like God is completely uninvolved. I mean, that's not the case, but you almost kind of so proactively work at it that you feel like he's just not even part of the equation. But this is where Romans 12 is so profoundly helpful to us, because what he's going to show us is this very specific detail of how we grow in our faith. Look at verse 2 again with me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect. What Paul says in Romans 12 is that the way that we increase our faith is by testing. What does Paul mean when he says testing here? So theologian Thomas Schreiner from Baptist Theological Seminary, he describes the meaning of this word by saying this: finding out the worth of something by testing it in actual practice. So when you think of testing, the idea that he has here is it's more than just this intellectual discerning, like sort of looking at something and deciding yes or no. There's an experiential side to it. It's sort of like moving out into something to see, is it trustworthy? And when we think about this with God, it's in fact, can I trust him? Do I believe him? Do I believe he will do what he said he will do? And what Paul is saying here is this is Paul's instruction of how to increase your faith. He says, we experience in life these opportunities that says, I'm going to trust you, God. Maybe in a way that I have never trusted you before. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to believe you to meet me when I take that step. That's this testing in life, this experience in life that we're going to take this step. So listen to this description of testing from Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and offerings. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down a blessing until there is no more need. Sounds like a pretty good time to take up an offering. Are you robbing God? No, that's not the topic for today. I'll let Keith preach on that one. But look at this process of testing here. It says, of God, put me to the test. He says, you bring the full tithe, bring the full financial gift into the storehouse. And you bring that gift. He says, not just this little baby amount you've been giving for the last 5 years. He said, you bring the full tithe. And he says, test me. He says, you live this way and see what I will do for you. Now, how do we respond to that? We're looking at this saying, that's hard, God. Because if I give like this, it's going to be risky. I mean, I'm not going to have that money. I'm putting myself out there. And, you know, I am not so sure if I do this, what's going to happen. But I'm going to take the step because I know God will provide for my every need. He promised he would. So it sounds risky, but I'm going to take the step. Noah, great patriarch of faith, he did this sort of Romans 12 kind of testing. So Noah was a godly man. You may remember Noah from the book of Genesis. So Noah was called by God to build a boat, an ark, they called it. And so, you know, here is Noah that, I just to give you a little background about Noah, He didn't live on the banks of the Mediterranean. This guy lived in the middle of the Arabian desert. And God says, I want you to build this giant boat. So here is this guy and his whole family. They're building this boat. And here's what Hebrews 11:7 says of Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the sake of his household. So here's Noah, seemingly no foundation for why would anyone build a boat in the middle of the desert, but he obeys God. He believed what God said, and he stepped out and did this incredible call that God had for Noah to build this ark. I want you to imagine, how many times before that moment had God called Noah and said, trust me, that Noah stepped out before he got to this moment in his life with this incredible call of God, where Noah had taken the steps of faith, where he had tested in life and experienced the power of God, the grace of God, that when he got to this moment and God said, build the ark, Noah said, I believe, and he stepped out in faith. Now, the temptation here is, instead of increase, growing in our faith, we feel pushed back. We feel that pressure to be conformed to this world, don't we? That's the pressure. You get blueprinted. And so what's so amazing about verse 2 in Romans 12 is that it gives us two completely different reactions to when the glorious, transforming power of God comes. How will we react? How will we respond? And the two opposite directions are this. First, be conformed to the pattern of this world. That was nice, God, but I need to just live and act just like everybody else. Just be conformed. Or believe, to live by faith, to trust him, in seeing that glorious grace that he is pouring out and say, I believe and I trust you and I'm going to step out in response. I'm going to live in response in a way like perhaps I have never responded before. That I can step out and I know God will be there for me. So about 2 years ago, I had a season where I had kind of reached the end of the church plant that my wife Kim and I were leading. And so, you know, we had been actually for 3 years just, you know, working through, pouring our heart and soul into this church plant. And so the time kind of came where we had to just make a decision around making a change. And it was a terribly hard decision, but we prayed and we felt like, you know, it was time for Kim and I to move on. And so one of the pieces that came with that is I'd be kind of left without a job, you know? and that was a pretty big part of the, okay, well if we're going to make a change, something's got to give here. And so for me, the first step was just kind of optimistic, like, well, I'll go back to the company I had worked at before. So a little background, before church planting, I actually had a pretty solid kind of a professional business role that I was a part of, and I had left that to go full-time as a church planter. And so my first thought was, well, I'll just go back to that same company, and I'll see, you know, just kind of go back to that, start working again and making a living there. So I called, and I find out that all those jobs, like I'd been a part of, they'd all moved to Chicago. And so it was like, well, that's not, you know, they're not available anymore. I mean, unless you want to move to Chicago, no thank you. Nothing against Chicago. I was like, no, I don't want to make this big cross-country move right now. And so I start calling other companies. And you know, it's starting out 30 days, 60 days, and nothing. And I'm starting to get, you know, I'm worried, like, you know, what's going to happen here, God? Like, I'm going to be without a job very soon, and I've got nothing. And you know how it goes when you're in this kind of a position. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, way to go, Mark. Not only did you screw up this whole ministry thing, but now you've ruined your business career. And I'm in a bad place. I'm feeling very defeated. And so then, finally, right before year end, I had this interview, which led to me not only getting the job, but this job was at a better position than the one I had left previously. It was with more flexibility, and it had a better company than the one I had left before. So praise God, He did this incredible work to provide for us. And this was, for me, an experience of exactly what we're talking about in Romans 12, where, you know, God was saying, test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. You take this step and I will be there for you. And, you know, I'm like, God, if we're going to pick an area to test, please don't pick this one. You know, you're going to talk about how I provide for my family. You talk about fear rising up really quick. I'm like, can we pick any other area besides this to go through this testing experiment? I don't want this one. Let's pick another one. But the way that God answered, it built my faith. It made me look at this and say, I can step out and I can look back at the glorious way that God intervened, His power for me, and say, He will answer exceedingly and abundantly greater than all I could ask or think. He is there for me. I trust Him. And this is my invitation for you, that you could see His glorious grace given to you, His love poured out for you, His invitation to you of His grace, and that you would respond putting faith in Him, to trust Him in a way that perhaps you have never trusted before, to build the ark in your life, whatever that looks like for you, to believe God when He says, will I not open the windows of heaven for you, to believe on Christ's work at the cross, that it was for you, and that it was enough that you could be forgiven and come into the presence of God. Receive His great work today. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your transforming grace, that You don't leave us in this place, that, Lord, You, when You reach down and engage us and love us, Lord, You change. You grow us. You are renewing us and transforming us, God. And Lord, we say today, yes, Lord. We want more of You. Lord, we trust You. Lord, if anyone is trustworthy, You, God, are worthy of our trust. Lord, we draw near to You today in faith. In Jesus' name.